good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line once again our good friend Dave Wagner. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Again, thanks for being on.
Well, we had Dave with us last night, and this evening we were just going to sort of wrap up our discussion of some of these clips he's gotten on various subjects dealing with what's going on in America today. And so what are we going to be playing this evening?
Well, last night we covered the New World Order, the purpose of 9/11, and then various terrorist incidents, Oklahoma, and 9/11 itself, some of the clips from there. And then we went on to the oil in Afghanistan, or just north Afghanistan, the Caspian Sea. And tonight, like I promised, I wanted to talk to the people, or we wanted to cover the area of how all these things are going to affect the American people, the listeners of this station, and yours and my family, in fact, too, Dr. Stan. So, again, I fear for this nation, because this nation really hasn't learned from history in any way, and I guess people have said that. I think it was Hegel that said one thing we've learned from history is people never learn from history. And that's exactly what's happening. The Americans have got so caught up in their lives today. They're more important to what happens to them than what happens to their children or their grandchildren. As the Bible says, people will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And God says the first commandment is, really, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And when a nation has left God and done the things we've done, Dr. Stan, literally every time in history that nation's been destroyed. Now, I want to give an example. If people were to just open their Bibles and read the first 6, 7, 8 chapters of Jeremiah, they'd see this nation that God said, I love these people. They're my chosen. They're the people that, you know, I have a heart after them. I'd do whatever it could to bring them back to himself, but they had forsaken him, and they'd grown rich. They were a very prosperous society, and they held fast to deceit, and truth had perished. At that time when Judah was, when Judah was a southern nation there, and when Jeremiah was prophesying, and it says in our times that people will not have a love of the truth, so they'll raise up teachers that will tickle their itching ears, and they were oppressing the fatherless and widows, and they were shedding innocent blood, and that was killing their unborn, and God says, I hate that. We kill 1.5 million here on our own soil every year of our unborn. In fact, the most dangerous place to be is in a mother's womb. We also help Planned Parenthood through American dollars kill about 50 million babies that are created in God's image and after his likeness all throughout the world. They worship the works of their own hands in Judah. I believe we do that. There was no man repented of his wicked ways. Like I mentioned last night, after 9/11, there was no repentance. There was no call to repentance by any of our leaders. They didn't obey God. They were given to covetousness, and you can just see just the extreme covetousness of some of these CEOs and how they don't have enough when they have their millions, hundreds of millions. They want even more. And they're not ashamed. Today people are go on television and say, oh yeah, I'm living with my friend or my partner or whatever they want to call them. There's no shame anymore. They trusted in false securities in Judah. The prophets prophesied falsely. The priests backed them up, and the people wanted it that way. They really wanted to hear the lies. They said, peace, peace at this time, when there was no peace. And they said, evil won't come upon us, neither shall a sword or famine. And I can tell them, Dr. Stan, not only is a sword and famine coming upon this nation, there's going to be much worse than that. And the temple of the Lord, they said in Jeremiah, and they kept talking about going to church, but they didn't turn back to God with their whole hearts. Their mouths were close to him, but their hearts were far from him. And you know what happened to that people, Dr. Stan? If we just go back in history, the Babylonians put a siege around the city of Jerusalem, and And the mothers had to eat their own babies on the stoves. They had to cook them for food. And that was the God that loved them. I believe God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe because we've turned to these other gods and done every single thing I just said there that they had done, and too much is given, much is expected, I believe we've got some very dark days ahead as far as this country as a nation. And my call has been and always will be a call to repentance, a call to back to God, the God of our fathers, that people would turn back and ask him what he'd have them do at this late hour, and then also just a personal call to get to know who Jesus is, hear his voice, and be filled with the Spirit so they can be prepared for the days that are ahead. So, again, pretty bleak opening, I guess, Dr. Stan, but that's really reality. It's not, I'm not sugarcoating anything, and neither was Jeremiah in his time. I'm not a Jeremiah. I was a businessman, and I have been called out to go around the country and warn people of the days in which we live. And I can see the police state coming. I can see the things that are ahead. The Middle East, we got into that a little bit last night, and we didn't get into it in full detail, but because we explained just a couple of the situations where we were talking about nuclear war. But when you look at the history of what happened in the Middle East, who gave Saddam Hussein the biological and chemical weapons? Those came from America. Who gave who raised up Osama bin Laden? He was working with the CIA at that time. Who raised up Arafat over there in the Middle East? Well, that was that was help of the United States government. So, again, there's two other evil empires we talked about briefly at the end last night, and that's China and Russia. I mean, I think they make Saddam Hussein look like a kindergarten security guard. As far as how they've killed millions of their own people. He may have killed thousands and maybe tens of thousands of his own, but these regimes of Russia with the gulags and China, even today with their slave labor camps, they continue to murder and destroy their own in not just tens of thousands, but of millions. And it's evil. It's a very evil organization. Are we going to stop when we go into Iraq? Is that going to, are the Arabs going to sit back and let us take one of their nations, one of the evil Axis nations, as we call them, down one at a time, or are they going to all get involved? According to Ron Paul, he predicted a few months ago the United States, with Tony Blair as the head cheerleader, he said we'll attack Iraq. And a major war, the largest since World War II, result. Major moves will be made by China, India, Russia, Pakistan, Central Asia to take advantage of the chaos. That was his prediction. He's not the only one. There's other people predicting the same kind of scenario. I was reading an article by one of the commentaries that the same kind of thing, that when we get involved, China and Russia will have the opportunity to move at that time. Well, here it is. It's allies critical to Iraq's action. It says the unilateral American action could set a dangerous precedent for India, China, or Russia to launch their own wars.
In other words, we could China could just simply absorb Taiwan. North Korea could absorb South Korea, and there's nothing we could do. We're going to be stretched to maintain this battle in the Middle East.
Absolutely. In fact, during the Clinton era, he downsized our military by about 50%, so maybe even more. Some people have said more than 50%. We have all these technological tools and weapons and all the fancy ones we like to hear about, but our manpower has decreased. And if you just go see Black Hawk Down, you're going to see if it becomes an urban warfare, who got those guys out? It wasn't the technology of those special op forces. It was the tanks that had to come in and get them out. So it's going to take more than just a few night goggles and some of these some of the latest technology. It's going to take manpower.
But David, it's even stranger than you say. Certainly, we look upon the threat of North Korea, and yet of course we remember back in 1994 why we signed an agreement with North Korea that if they promised that they would stop their work on developing a nuclear bomb, we would give them free oil. We would build them a special type of nuclear plant to provide electricity for their nation, but where there would be, of course, no plutonium produced, because plutonium is an essential ingredient of the nuclear bombs. And I think they call this a light water nuclear plant, something of that sort. Well, anyway, of course, what's happened recently, we found out that the North Koreans have been cheating. And, of course, the people who have helped them cheat have been Pakistan and Russia. And, of course, we're financing both Pakistan and Russia. We're helping Russia. We're giving them money to dismantle their weapons. We're giving large sums of money to Pakistan. So Pakistan and Russia have been helping the North Koreans cheat on their agreement. But what's even more amazing about this entire story is that despite the fact that we know that North Korea has broken its promise and has been cheating for the last 6 years, on actually 8 years on its promise, we're still giving them free oil. We're still building their light water nuclear plant. Now, why would we do such a stupid thing? Or is there another agenda? In other words, maybe we don't really understand what's going on today.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly we're concerned about the China's threat to Taiwan, and yet, of course, we continue transferring technology to China, and we justify it. Oh, yes, they gave $100,000 to Bill Clinton. If you really think that he transferred all that technology to the Chinese communists for a few $100,000, you probably believe that, so much of the other false information that's being put out today. And there are forces that work behind the scenes that most Americans are totally unaware of.
We talked briefly, and I have those articles right in front of me. It's sort of interesting you start talking about North Korea, because here's an article out of the Orange County Register. It says, the Bush administration has decided to scrap the 1994 arms control accord with North Korea that has provided Western energy aid to in return for North Korea's promise to freeze the development of nuclear weapons. Here's another article I had just ready to talk about tonight. You just mentioned it. It's out of the Orange County Register on October 19th. It says intelligence officials suspect that Russia, Pakistan, and China are suppliers of equipment North Korea has to use to develop its nuclear weapon program. And again, it was China that helped help build the Pakistan with Saudi Arabian money. And there again is one of our supposed friends that continues to support the families of these terrorists, these suicide bombers, they call them, that kill themselves. The Saudi Arabia gives each family member $30,000. Saudi Arabia helped Pakistan get its nuclear weapons along with Chinese help. Saudi Arabia now has its own nuclear capability on its soil there in a base in the center of Saudi Arabia. So, again, there's so many things, Dr. Stan, that are that don't measure up. We talked briefly about this Russian sub. Here's an article in the Orange County Register on 12/5 of last year. It says Russian Navy launches new nuclear sub. And again, this is supposedly a third world nation. That's nothing to say about giving the Chinese the Panama Canal back in 1997, giving them a 25-year lease on both ends of the Panama Canal, Cristobal and Balboa. Flying that plane into there, one of the latest technology planes. We didn't just give them the blueprints. We gave them the actual technology when we flew that plane into one of their military bases rather than ditch it in the ocean. So, again, interesting but sad, because I believe that God is allowing, just as I started the program off, he's allowing these things to happen. It's not his will, obviously. His will, none perish but all come to repentance. It's his will that everybody serve him and worship him and follow him. But we've chosen to go our own way, and because of that, there have been dire consequences for nations like ours in the past. And what's coming, I think only God knows. There's all kinds of predictions, like I mentioned, as far as what will happen when we go into the Middle East. Will the Arab nations, attack Israel at that time? Will China go into Taiwan and North Korea into South Korea and Pakistan into India? Or, what exactly is going to happen? I know there's alliances between these countries. Right here it says here in the this would be the Times on July 17th of last year. It has Putin and Yang hugging. It says, challenging what they see as the threat of a new global order dominated by the United States. These two men are concerned. I don't believe that they're going to be able to accomplish this global community to the fullest like they planned, because I think God's going to throw some hooks or monkey wrenches into their scheme. I believe they all want to be at the top of the pyramid. I don't think anybody wants to play second fiddle. whether it be China or Russia or Europe or America or whoever. I think everybody wants to be the leader. And these guys aren't following anybody. They all want to be in control. So I believe they will eventually turn on each other. I believe that eventually Lucifer, who really motivates them and stimulates their thinking and their whole plans and ideologies. He's a murderer, he's a liar, and he's a deceiver from the beginning. I believe these people are deceived, and I hope I never give the impression that I think the American people shouldn't pray for our leaders. I talk about our government and how we're probably part of the plans in the Murrah building and part of the plans in the World Trade Center and all these other things, but it's still our responsibility to pray for our leaders. God tells us to pray for them because he would desire none of them to perish, but if they don't repent, if they don't turn back, we're going to see many of these world leaders. Actually, at the end, it says in the Bible, it says they're going to turn their weapons up to the heavens. These weapons of mass destruction and the type of what do they call them now? They're called I want to say space age weapons, but they got all different names for them. They're going to actually turn them up towards God and try to kill God. And God says he laughs in derision in the heavens. He's going to laugh at them because they're so small and so insignificant compared to the creator of heaven and earth, as his hand spans this universe. But let's go back to what we talked about last night, the 9/11 and all the other things, how they're going to start affecting the American people. And I have an article here. It's September 16th, 2001, just a few days after 9/11, and it says the war to come. And this is about the war on our home front. It says war will bring calls for censorship, back on 9/16, government control of internet, suppression of honest reporting, confiscation of personal weapons, targeting of certain ethnic and religious groups will be on the agenda. And that's exactly what's taken place. I really applaud your last newsletter, Dr. Stan, because you covered this in great detail. You got into the U.S. Patriot Act, I've got an article here when George Bush was signing it here. He says, this bill goes light years beyond what's necessary to combat terrorism. And it truly did. He actually accomplished, like Ron Paul said, he accomplished most of the draconian measures Bill Clinton couldn't get through Congress since 9/11.
I think people need to know the entire
administration has been busy taking away our liberties and freedoms from us for the last... since 9/11, really, since they've been in office. Before we go any further, let me play one of the clips I'd like to play here. The first person on the clip is John Ashcroft, and then the next one is George Bush speaking after he had signed the U.S. Patriot Act. And then the next person speaking that I think I have a little short clip of Ashcroft in between every one of them, but the next one is Senator Gary Hart, ex-Senator Gary Hart, who helped put together Homeland Defense. He and Warren Rudman, you have actually those syllabuses or whatever you call them up there, don't you, Dr. Stan, that they can get the copies of the plans.
Right, right. Those are the entitled the New World Coming
and then
Report.
After Gary Hart, you've got Ashcroft again, and then you've got Dan Quayle, who's been part of the whole program of bringing this all together. He's been part of the global community for some time now. Then again, listen to what John Ashcroft says at the end. So let's listen to these clips about our freedoms and liberties. And the threats that are pretty much made by our attorney general towards anybody that might speak out against us losing these liberties and freedoms. Here we go.
All of this was brought upon us in a single day. And night fell on a different world. A world where freedom itself is under attack.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty,
this new law that I signed today will allow surveillance of all communications, including emails, the internet, and cell phones.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty,
it's a war we have to win if we're going to protect the people of this country. I think the real issue is, what do we sacrifice, what do we give up in the process? So there is going to be a continuing trade-off between security and liberty and freedom going forward in the 21st century.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty,
Security is having this discussion right now with the political leaders, and we're probably going to be asked to do some things that many people might not like, because it's going to call into question some of the freedoms that we have had.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty, my message is this. Your tactics only aid terrorists, for they erode our national unity and diminish our resolve.
Okay, I played that one part over and over on purpose because I don't know where he comes up with his phantoms of lost liberty, because the people that are part of the administration, George Bush, he talks about what we've lost and the freedoms and liberties we've lost. Dan Quayle talks about the fact that we're going to have to give up. Maybe he's threatening them, telling them that they shouldn't be telling the American people that they're going to lose these phantoms of lost liberty. I don't know what he's talking about, but it's a very challenging statement for anybody that wants to continue to share truth.
Well, you know, David,
back in history, if they go to Europe before our forefathers came over, if you spoke against the government, they severed your head and they put it on a spike in the center of town, and that's why we have the First Amendment right, freedom of speech. That's exactly why they put it there. It's the very first thing that we could say whatever we wanted, and if we said anything against the government, we wouldn't be threatened as being a terrorist. We wouldn't be classified as somebody that is against the government. I think we should all have that freedom, and we still, of course, at least last time I looked, we still have it. However, they are the draconian measures are starting the clouds are starting to cover this nation everywhere you turn, as your article so clearly covered it. I mean,
David,
literally lost so many things that since 9/11, and we'll get into some of them. I see here you see
the
Bush administration wants Americans to carry ID cards, and I want to talk about that a little later. And restrict constitutional rights of American citizens, govern employees to reject Freedom of Information Act, withhold whistleblowers, to establish military tribunals, to establish a national data bank. In fact, that's a global data bank they want to put together, Dr. Stan, there. To repeal the posse comitatus laws, and that's what was happening there with this sniper there in Washington, D.C., repeal laws dealing with the medical and financial privacy, to allow the FBI to monitor churches and liberties used, to establish relocation camps for American citizens. We'll talk about that tonight, and to establish a TIPS program, the Terrorist Information Prevention System. That's just a few of the things they've done since 9/11. There was and I'm looking for it right now while I'm talking to you, but there was AP, Associated Press article on September 11th, and this isn't from some conspiracy theorist writer or anything else. This is right from the AP on September 8, 2002, and it says, severe changes to the legal rights of Americans. Some of the changes by the Bush administration, U.S. Patriots, since September 11th. These are just a few of them. Freedom of association. Government may monitor religious and political institutions without suspecting criminal activity now. Freedom of information. Freedom of speech. Right of to legal representation. Freedom of unreasonable searches. They can have these secret searches now.
Right to speedy
and public trial. Government may jail Americans indefinitely without a trial. Right to liberty. Jailed without being charged. It was habeas corpus. You had to be charged within a certain period of time. So, again, they've gone after everything that our forefathers gave us, but that's because we as American people have, when the salt loses its savor, it says it becomes good for nothing except to be trodden. Jesus said when it becomes good for nothing except to be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles, and we have no salt. We have very little salt. We're one of the bright spots, and your listeners, I'm sure, are doing whatever they can. I hope they're supporting you, Dr. Stan, because it's a radio program like yours that this nation needs, not just to go to one city, not to two cities, but to every city. Because the mainline news media is not going to get this kind of information out. The only thing that's going to help get this information out is if some of your supporters decide to put some of their resources to good use, and good use for their own children and their grandchildren in the future, and start supporting you so you can get this information out throughout the country, not just, like I say, on a shortwave or internet. Or it'd be great if you had, if you were on the Clear Channel or whichever it is, one of these large, huge radio channels where they have 1,600 stations now. But again, our liberties and freedoms are being lost because we've chosen to do nothing. we're basically giving these liberties and freedoms up and not looking at history again. You just go back to 33. You look at after Hitler was appointed as Chancellor of Germany, the Nazis actually burnt down the Reichstag building or their parliament building. And but the communists were blamed for this act of terrorism against the German people. And then Hitler exploited the outrage of the German citizens to give himself dictatorial powers. Well, we have that at both the presidential level as the governor's level, too, which he promised would be used to rid the Germany of communism. And what are we doing? We're trying to rid the world of terrorists, whoever they are, wherever they are. We haven't really defined who they are and you know where we're going to look, but I'm sure we're going to look everywhere we can.
All right. Well, David, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, fine. Go ahead then.
And then what happened is Chancellor Hitler demanded from the German cabinet an emergency decree, which enabled him to deal decisively with the domestic crisis. And we've had that same thing. Our president wants more and more powers to deal with this group called the Homeland Defense. And President von Hindenburg gave him those powers, and he signed the decree, and the decree was for the protection of the people, for the protection of the people in the state, and that's what supposedly all this Homeland Defense is all about. But if you look at it for what it really is, I mean, it's combining all these different agencies, the Department of Defense, along with the National Security Agency and the Environmental Protection Agency and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and then all the different posts, secretary posts, secretary of the treasurer and defense and transportation, health and human services. And this will all come into play as people see how these different laws are being going to be enforced.
No, David, I think the important thing about the Office of Homeland Security is it decreases the power of Congress and the courts, and it gives supreme power to the president's administration, to the executive branch of government. It does away with a system of checks and balances, and that's what the debate has been back in Washington, D.C., and that fact has been suppressed from the American people, and everybody's been told, oh, the debate back there deals with civil service rights for the people in this new Office of Homeland Security, and nothing could be further from the truth. The entire media in America has conspired to keep the American people from understanding that the senators who have been objecting to the Office of Homeland Security have been objecting because it gives too much power to the executive branch of government. It does away with checks and balances, and in its essence creates a constitutional dictatorship, and that's what they're talking about, and the fact that they've been able to suppress that all across America, so the average person has no idea what is really going on in Washington, D.C., is simply a reflection of the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think.
And that's exactly, Dr. Stan, as I read that thing about the German people, it said the German cabinet had an emergency decree which enabled Hitler to deal decisively with a domestic crisis. He himself, as a dictator, it gave himself those dictatorial powers. And that again, is the same thing that took place in 33, and I think that was just a precursor for what's getting ready to happen, except and they didn't have the technology we have today. They didn't have the ability to monitor all the phone calls and everything else that we do, as well as look inside of buildings and use all this spy technology that's available. But we're moving the direction. You mentioned TIPS in your newsletter. We're moving the same direction they did. TIPS is called the Terrorist Information and Prevention System Act,
That's where Americans will be recruited to spy on Americans, and they'll employ your letter carrier, the delivery man, the fellow who checks your meter, because they can come onto your property and get information and give it to the government or anything that's suspicious. Why, they'll be well rewarded for turning in people just as they are in Cuba, as they were in Hitler's Germany. We're going to be back here in just 3 minutes with David Wagner. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide that you'd like to partner with us in our effort to educate the American people about what's really going on behind the scenes today. And, of course, there is a move towards the all-powerful state. There is the move towards centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., and there is certainly a move towards using the tragedy of the terrorist attack of September 11th to to justify bringing in police state measures in the United States in the name of fighting terrorism, but nobody ever wants to go back and look at who financed Al-Qaeda, who financed Osama bin Laden during the Afghan War, who financed the Taliban. And, of course, as books pointed out back in 1999, several books we have that were written then, the Central Intelligence Agency was financing the Islamic terrorist movement throughout the world. So if you don't have an enemy, how can you have a war against terrorism? And as terrible as it is to say, this is the reality. And if you would like a free copy of our September newsletter, where we've documented everything we say from many, many sources, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we hope after you've read the newsletter why you'll want to become involved in this battle. Because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if not now, when will you become involved? If not you, who is going to become involved? And what would you say to your children and your grandchildren if we lose our freedom in this country and the liberty we've known today simply becomes a remembrance of things past? Well, we, of course, want to remind you we have a website, radioliberty.com. You can go there. We hope that you'll tell others about our programs. We hope that you'll challenge our basic concepts. If you want the documentation for anything that I say, why, give us a call and we'll try to provide it for you or tell you where you can document it, because I've been at this for 40 years, and fortunately, we've accumulated a great deal of information and documentation. And I've been through the dusty files at universities, and I've been through the secret files of the Council on Foreign Relations at 5080 68th Street in New York City, and of course, the leaders of our government, the leaders of our State Department, people like Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, Vice President Dick Cheney, all come from the Council on Foreign Relations. They always do, whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power, because both political parties at the top are controlled by the same people. And that's what dictatorships are made of. And the major driving force behind everything going on today is a new world order and a new world religion, and using America's power and financial and military to bring about this world government that these people dream of. Their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this idea of the New World Order. Well, we just want to mention we're going to be having that all-day program out at the Aptos Seascape Country Club, actually golf course. That's the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 23rd of November. That's the weekend before Thanksgiving. And we hope many of you will want to come. We're going to be talking about the coming financial collapse, how to prepare yourself fiscally and psychologically and financially for the difficult, very difficult times that lie ahead. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you're interested in coming, so we can reserve a place for you. Again, that's the 23rd of November, and the basic theme is going to be preparation for what lies ahead. And of course, with that thought, we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dave Wagner. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jerry in Los Angeles. Before we put Jerry on, why don't you get your telephone number out there, Dave, so people would know how to get in touch with you.
It's an 800 number, so free call, and I'll get a resource packet off. You just leave your name, address, city, state, and zip clearly so I can understand it, and call 800-959-1991. That's 800-959-1991.
Okay, and Dave Wagner's ministry is Hope for America, and he gave up a very good job with a major corporation just to go off as he is doing, trying to awaken the American people to what's going on. Again, Dave Wagner's ministry, Hope for America. Let's go to Jerry calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Jerry. You have a question or comment?
Oh, yeah, I have a comment. Last night I called this talk radio show, and because really I'm not allowed during the daytime or any, you know.
Okay. What was it about?
This is my subject is really freedom of speech, and we really don't have freedom of speech. You know, like I said, you know, the only time I'm allowed to call there, because if I call any other time, I just get hung up on. They don't even, you know, have the courtesy to ask me, you know, what I want to talk about. And so, you know, but, you know, lately they've been getting more agitated, and you know, and making me hold on the line for an hour. And then finally, I just got upset, and they manipulated me to blow my top and kick me off the air.
Okay, was there any points you wanted to make other than the fact that other station wouldn't let you on?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that we're losing our freedom, and the only reason...
You're absolutely right, Jerry. That's what we've been saying, and
yeah.
We need to have to make people understand that on most programs, you're not going to hear what you're hearing here.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's a real shame, you know. You have the freedom to choose any script, you know, from the New York Times or the L.A. Times or, you know, the ABC News. You know, as long as you're reading their script, you have the right to choose any script you want. But, like I have a question, you know, I think it's very strange that it was only a few months ago we were celebrating North Korea's second nuclear plant. And then a few months later, recently, a couple of days ago, they announced that they have nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I just find it, you know, very difficult to believe that our intelligence agency, in between the celebration of the second nuclear plant and this announcement, that they found out they had two nuclear bombs.
And Jerry, they've known this all along. They just didn't want the American people to know, because if the American people know, then how could they justify continuing to give them free oil? How could they justify continuing to build this special nuclear plant for them? How could they justify financing communism when they're supposedly our enemy? And yet, of course, we're helping them at every turn. Hey, we got to run back to David Wagner, but thanks so much for calling.
I just have one more thing. Can
okay,
I,
sure, go ahead.
I heard Paul Harvey say that that we were planning to give Russia $10 billion not to develop Iran's long-range missiles.
Well, somebody's got to finance the communists. Nobody else has enough money to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what. But Jerry, this is nothing new. We've been doing this since 1919. Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
I got your videotape.
All right. Well, then you know we financed communism since its inception, and the idea that communism, the enemy, is simply a distortion. Hey, but I got a guess, but thanks so much for calling, Jerry. And go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Before the break, we were talking about this TIPS program. Here's an article out of U.S. News and World Report on March of this year. It says, "Thank God for noisy neighbors." This is John Ashcroft talking. It says, "They might just be the ones that sniff out the terrorist among us," says John Ashcroft. "Through the Noisy Neighborhood Watch Program, we will weave a seamless web of prevention of terrorism that brings together citizens, law enforcement," citizens will be the TIPS program, "law enforcement, and I might mention the military." As the Department of Defense is going to be a big player in this Homeland Defense program. So they're bringing it all together, as they have many times in history before this, and eventually they want to enslave, these pawns of Lucifer, because they have been deceived. They are doing pretty much what he wants. He promises them power and and ability to control people. But his main objective is to be like God. He said, "I will be like the Most High God. I will sit on the throne of God. I am God." And he wants to control every single individual on the planet Earth. It's all about people control. And with the latest technology, I think we're going to be able to do that. We're going to be able to accomplish that very soon. As the Bible says, very soon, you're going to have to take a mark. And without that mark, you will not be able to buy or sell. And it was interesting after 9/11 that this idea of a national ID driver's license was really supported by, I saw some of the surveys said as many as 70% of the American people wanted some kind of national ID.
It all becomes, how are we going to deal with this terrorist threat? I mean, what are we going to do so that we don't have all these terrorists? Nobody ever asked why we opened our borders and brought in millions and millions of Muslims, many of whom sympathize with this radical Islamic form of terrorism. And nobody ever asked, I mean, why we financed Osama bin Laden during the Afghan War, in fact, precipitated the Afghan War, brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power when we toppled the Shah, and established this radical Islamic movement. And until people understand we created the enemy, And now, of course, we've got to take away the freedom of the American people to deal with that enemy. Unless they understand that everything we're doing today is to inflame the emotions of Islamic people and Islamic sympathizers throughout the world, and this this fellow Muhammad, the sniper, obviously he converted to Islam, and we are actually allowing the Saudi Arabians to come into this country and push their radical form of Islam here, but we can't even mention Christianity in their country. Now, there's something wrong with that. If they want to come in here and push their philosophy, fine, as long as they allow us to push or even mention Christianity in their country. But if you went into Saudi Arabia and you started passing out tracts, why, you'd be in prison tomorrow. So, our government is doing everything they can to encourage the problem, but the problem is they have a solution, and with that solution will come the loss of all freedom.
Absolutely, and I think the ultimate will be this chip that they're planning on giving us. As right here on January this year, it says here, the nationwide plan was prompted for a national ID was prompted by the September 11th attacks in which several hijackers had obtained fraudulent IDs, they said. They said the hijackers used fake data to open 35 bank accounts. So they're going to have to come up with a foolproof or a fraudulent proof type ID where somebody can't copy it or pass it on, and I think there's only one solution to that, and that's a chip ID that's only skin deep, as this one article talks about, and that's put together already in place. They've already produced many of these. It's produced by Applied Digital Solutions, Federal Drug, FDA, has already approved or is working on approving this interpersonal device, which will be monitored by the global positioning satellites. And in fact, they use every situation. I'd like to play this one clip here. It's real short. Again, it has to do with a TV interview they had right after some of these young kids were kidnapped and raped and murdered here in the southern part of California. And listen to the solution they have for the parents with their kids, and it's going to be a solution for everybody, really, after the major crisis, I believe, that's heading our direction right now in the Middle East and going to spread throughout the world. I think they're going to have to come up with some kind of foolproof ID program where they can know where everybody is at all times. But let's listen to this here.
Coming up tonight, do parents have to resort to high-tech measures to protect their children? Well, you'll meet a man who says that you may want to implant a microchip in your children. Think that's a good idea in light of all the kidnappings?
This technology has been in development since 1999, and it was originally aimed towards the Alzheimer's markets for wandering parents and things to that effect. With the recent increase in abductions and kidnapping, both here and in Latin America, where it runs rampant, we believe that our technologies can be an aid and security to the parents and to loved ones in this age where security is very important.
Okay, now that was the last speaker was there, Scott Sullivan. I believe the first one was Cisco and Ebert. I think that was Cisco Ebert or one of my, I'm not familiar with him, but Scott Sullivan, the president of Applied Digital Solutions, was the one that came up with that kind of comment where there is a solution to this, and that's implanting this chip under everybody's skin. The Bible had spoken about that many years in advance. Like I said, it says that everybody's going to be required. If they're going to buy or sell, they're going to have to start praying the Lord's Prayer. Like I mentioned last night, they're going to have to say, give us this day our daily bread and really believe God, because either that or they're going to have to go into the system, take the chip, and they'll go to hell for eternity. It says they'll burn in the lake of fire for eternity. And people that don't take the chip, they've already set them up, because they're hiding something from what the articles I've been reading. Anybody that might not be willing to take this security chip would obviously be some form of a terrorist, or they would be hiding something from the government or from their neighbors. And there's a time, actually, the Bible says, Dr. Stan, where neighbor will turn in neighbor, and husbands will turn in their children and their wives, and wives will turn in the daughters. And so there's a time coming when people, I think, become just really fearful, totally fearful. They're unable to handle the situation. They're unable to trust God. And so they're going to go along with the program of taking an implantable chip which they'll continue to stay in the program for a few more years. How long, I don't know. But it won't be very long. But they will perish for eternity if they do take the chip that God talked about.
The interesting thing is, David, that some of our religious leaders are encouraging people to take it, saying, oh, well, this is not, of course, the sign of the Antichrist. It's just simply a little chip. Do not be afraid to take it. And this really bothers me. Maybe they're right, but what happens if they're wrong? And my feeling is that I have no intention of taking that chip, and I hope our listeners will not, because the whole idea is you'll neither buy nor sell, lest you wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. And they're pushing this, the people who are pushing this are part of this whole Luciferian conspiracy. And why is it, David, that our churches never tell us that there is a Luciferian conspiracy to create a one-world government? And, of course, it's being manipulated from the highest levels of our government by the leaders of both political parties.
I think the reason they don't tell us, Dr. Stan, because there's a Luciferian church at the end times. It rides the beast. It's the whore that rides the beast. They don't talk a whole lot about the false teachers that will be in the pulpits in the latter days. They don't talk a whole lot about this one-world religion that's rising up all throughout the world where all the religions are coming together. I don't care what they're Protestant or Catholic or Muslim or Hindu or witchcraft or whatever. They're all coming together through various meetings. I think the first one was that I saw, CCE Italy in 1986. There have been many more since then at the United Nations and other places where they're bringing together this interfaith movement where all roads lead to God. And so the pastors can't really speak of this kind of stuff or else they'll lose their members who are very comfortable in those pews today. And it's very unfortunate because I've already heard some of the arguments. I've heard people say, well, God's going to judge my heart. It has nothing to do with whether I take a chip. If I love him with all my heart, well, Eve was told, don't eat of the tree. So don't eat whatever it was of that tree. She was disobedient, she died spiritually. If people are disobedient to God's word and they do take that chip, and they're going to have to decide what it is. I mean, I'm not going to tell them that this is the Supply Digital Solution, the interpersonal devices. I think it probably is. I believe it probably is. But they're going to have to hear from God themselves because it's going to be a major decision in their life and their future and their family's future, what they do there. But again, don't believe the lie that God's going to judge your heart and you can be disobedient to him, because by being disobedient to him, you're being obedient to Lucifer in his plan. Other people say, and some of these pastors say, well, you don't have to worry about that because you're not going to be here. Well, I hope they're right. I really do hope they're right. I'm not sure they are. As I read the entire scriptures, I believe there's much persecution coming for this nation, and I believe that possibly they might not be right in all their theology. They seem to be. I hear some of the prophetic pre-trib rapture teachers, now they're saying, well, we need to reevaluate some of our eschatology and some of these prophecies we've been talking about. I don't think any man, we should listen to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to guide us and lead us in all truth. It isn't going to be some late great Planet Earth book that everybody interprets and runs with as far as being the pure interpretation.
I think that the one point I use when discussing the pre-trib rapture concept is the fact that, if you can believe in the pre-trib rapture, and perhaps you're right, in fact, I hope and pray that you are, but where in the Bible does it say that the rapture will come before America, before the country we live in, is destroyed? What happens if the rapture comes 30 years from now and you've done absolutely nothing to protect yourself or your family or your neighbor? And, of course, that, of course, is the point that I try to make, that I think that many, many people who believe in the pre-trib rapture and are really totally neutralized by this, and they're not doing anything at all. They simply think that somehow, because they believe this, they can withdraw from society and everything will be fine, and I hope and pray they're right. But what happens if they're wrong? I'm not willing to gamble for myself and my children and my grandchildren. Are you?
Absolutely, nobody
ever points that out. They seem to think that everything centers around America and their belief, and they have no real concern of the fact that our country is driving the rest of the world into chaos, and we are probably leading the world right now into World War III. Let's go to Gloria, who's calling in from Spokane. Hi, Gloria. How are you doing?
Hi. I just had a little comment. Revelations 14:9-11 says, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God. So clearly this shows that the worship of the beast comes before accepting the mark. And I think that's a very important clarification to make, because I think that people will knowingly worship the beast first and then receive the mark.
That's what
Scripture says, and it's my final authority. God has not appointed us, and that's the believers, unto his wrath, and he's going to be pouring out his wrath on these people. So I just don't think that we're destined for the wrath, because that's pointed out in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, and I'm certainly the type of person, I do believe in a pre-trib rapture, but that doesn't make me sit back and say, oh, well, you know, just bake cookies and everything's just fine and dandy. I am a political activist, so I just want to mention that it's very critical that you mention that the person first has to worship the beast, and true Christians are not going to worship the beast.
All right. Thank you, Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
You bet.
Okay, fine. And so Gloria makes the point that the worship of the beast, but then what is the worship of the beast? Is it in being involved in this evil system in which we live today? Because we are living in a truly evil world.
I think, Dr. Stan, the worship of the beast is when Eve did what God told her not to do. She literally obeyed the devil, and he became the ruler of this world. She was given the title deed to the earth at that point because she disobeyed God, and she started obeying Satan. Anybody that disobeys God in regards to this is worshiping the beast. They are literally saying, okay, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way the world goes and the world system goes. So again, it's more than raising your hands. A lot of people think worship is when I go to church and I sing a song or I raise my hands. No, it's obedience. It's much better to obey than sacrifice, God says. It's through obedience that we show God we love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so again, he tells you, do not take that chip. If you do take it, I believe you're pledging your allegiance to the world system and the beast himself. It isn't going to take singing some song to him or praying a prayer to him. It's just literally going against what God's called us to do. Real quick, though, I want to play one more clip. It's an important clip because I believe when people do not take the mark, like I say, they're going to be considered terrorists. They're going to be considered people that we need to watch out for. They're hiding something. And here's a May 28, 1968 Look magazine article I'm looking at right now. And it says here on the front page, American concentration camps. A shocking Nazi-like law permits mass imprisonment of dissenters. Now, why I wanted to play this, because last night I said we didn't have any terrorist incidents until that I could see in 1993 when we went when we saw that incident there at the World Trade Center in 1993, and then 1995, the Murrah Building, and then 2001. Now listen to what Henry Gonzalez says in 1989, 3 years or 4 years before that, the laws are in place in case of a terrorist incident. So we had to have terrorist incidents for his comment to even make sense. But listen to this Iran-Contra hearing. And I believe this is coming down. I believe I know the laws are on the books, and I know that soon they will be enslaving the American people that don't go along with the beast system or go along with his plan. So, again...
Now, is this the one with Jack Brooks in it?
This is Jack Brooks.
All right.
You can hear this while I'm setting it up here.
For our listener, Congressman Jack Brooks was from Texas. He's a Southern Democrat, conservative congressman, and of course he is asking the chairman of the Iran-Contra hearings about the fact that he has heard that there is a plan to suspend the Constitution in case of a national emergency. Then you'll hear a Senator Inouye repeatedly interrupt him because, of course, Senator Inouye doesn't want the American people who are listening to the Iran-Contra hearings actually to know about these plans for the concentration camps in America. And he finally manages to say, well, you know, if there is, if you want to insist on discussing this, we'll do it in an executive or secret session. He doesn't say secret, but that's what it is, an executive session. And then, of course, you'll hear the voice of Congressman Henry Gonzalez, chairman of the House Banking Committee, acknowledging that there is a plan in the case of terrorism, to arrest Americans and put them in concentration camps. This is taken about, 1988, somewhere in there. Go ahead, David.
There we go. Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman. So the truth of the matter is that, yes, you do have those standby provisions, and the plans are there, and the statutory emergency plans are there, whereby you could, in the name of stopping terrorism, apprehend, invoke the military, and arrest Americans and hold them in detention camps.
All right. Well, now we're out of time, Dave. Thanks so very much for being with us. I think that says all needs to be said. This was back in 1988 or so. The plans were already in force. Even then, they knew that what was about to occur. They just didn't want the American people. God bless you, Dave. Thanks so very much.
Thank you, and God bless you.
And, of course, this is the time when I ask the people up there in the great Northwest to pray for Radio Liberty. Tell your friends about our program at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and until Monday when we'll be back. This is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of the Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for a few minutes. We have with us Al Snow. And Al is a gentleman who lives back in Utah who decided he was going to do something about the move towards world government. Now, you say, well, what can one man do? Well, I'll tell you what, he has raised a storm of contention, and he's had an impact that's been heard all around the world, sort of like that shot that was fired at Concord Bridge. And, of course, what he did, he was on the city council in a little town back in Utah. Nobody ever heard of his town there. But he got a couple of people on the city council to vote with him to make his town a United Nations free zone. Now, why is that important? Well, you have to understand that the United Nations was designed to be a world government. The man who wrote the charter for the United Nations was Alger Hiss, the first acting Secretary General. He was had been a communist spy by 1945. He was one of the upper leaders of the Council on Foreign Relations, certainly by the time he was identified as a communist spy in the early 1950s. He was the president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, one of the most prestigious and powerful organizations in the whole world. And you must understand that this whole thing works together. There's never been a fight between communism and capitalism. That was just for the suckers. I mean, how would you get boys to go over and fight and bleed and suffer and die in wars against communism if you knew that we were financing communism, if you knew that the leaders of communism and the leaders of our country were dedicated to exactly the same thing as Mikhail Gorbachev and, of course, Stephen Rockefeller are today. They work together along with Maurice Strong, writing the Earth Charter, working towards this global government. Our president, presidents honor Gorbachev, because we're all working towards the same goal, but we don't want the suckers to understand that. They've got to be willing to believe that communism is the enemy. Well, communism was the enemy, and maybe, of course, North Korea is the enemy now, but the real enemy is terrorism. Unfortunately, just as we financed and created the world communist movement starting back in 1919 when we gave massive amounts of money and supplies to the communists and, of course, starved the anti-communists. And if you want the documentation on that, it comes from Herbert Hoover's memoirs, and we simply give you the exact quotation and the page references in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Fortunately, my book has an index, so you can look up Herbert Hoover and get the entire story. We've just taken the figures out of his memoirs, and you can still get that, or if you can't, why, drop us a line. We'll copy the page out of his book where he tells how all the supplies went to the communists. Well, just as we financed and supported the communists from 1919 right up until the fall of the Berlin Wall, and we're still doing it today. We're still under one guise or another sending money to Russia or to communist China. We also finance the Islamic terrorist movement because, you see, now communism is supposedly no longer the enemy. The enemy is terrorism. But who finances the terrorist movement? Well, our friends, the Saudi Arabians, our friends, the Pakistanis, who we finance, and the American Central Intelligence Agency. And this is well known throughout the world. It's just the American people are not to realize that, because we're supposed to believe that really we really have a war on terrorism, whereas in truth, the war is on the American people. Yes, there are some crazy Islamic terrorists out there, but of course we've been tracking them for many years. Why is it, do you think, that within just a couple of hours of the attack on the World Trade Center, the FBI was at the flight schools, in the restaurants, in the neighborhoods where the terrorists lived, collecting information? How would they know within just a couple of hours who these people were, where they live, where they took their flight training? You want to get a copy of my October newsletter. There we are simply have quoted the testimony before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence of Kristen Breitweiser, whose husband Ron Paris in the South Tower of the World Trade Center. It is little wonder that the controlled media in America has totally blocked out her testimony. You can get it up on the Intelligence Committee's website. We can provide that to you, of course, if you really can't get up there. But you need to read the testimony, and it'll be in my October newsletter, which be glad you send your free copy if you haven't had a copy before. And she talks, she simply quotes from the New York Times that reporting on the 12th of September of last year, the day after the attack, the FBI had, within a few hours of the attack, was in the flight schools, the neighborhoods, and the restaurants are frequented by the hijackers. And she asked, how could they possibly have known so soon after the attack? And the answer is, they knew before the attack. In fact, a couple of them were even living with an FBI informant in San Diego. How does that, how can you explain that? And the FBI said they had no idea who these people were. They just couldn't find them anyplace. Supposedly, the CIA told the FBI to track down these terrorists, and they had the numbers in the telephone books. They got on the planes under their own names. They had an anti-terrorist list, which, of course, they were using for checking Christians and patriots, but they didn't bother to put the Islamic terrorist names on there. Do you really believe that? Do you believe we didn't have any planes in the air for almost an hour and 20 minutes after we knew that the first plane had been hijacked? And we just couldn't get any planes to guard our nation's capital. Do you honestly believe that? Well, you're probably waiting for your Enron stock to come back again, too. We've got Al Snow on the line. Hi, Al. How are you doing?
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. And, of course, Al is the one who created all this furor by passing a resolution in his city council to the effect that his city was to be a United Nations free zone. Why don't you just tell our listeners about that resolution?
Okay. Back in 2001, on July 4th, we decided that we needed to pass an ordinance which would be a United Nations free zone, and the reason that we wanted to do that is that I had read an article about Zion National Park being considered a biosphere, and knowing that there would be a buffer zone around it that would probably include our city, so we thought we would pass this before they did what they were going to do.
No, for those people, if it becomes a sort of a heritage site, it really belongs or comes under UN, at least, direction. They don't own it, but they simply tell us what to do, and we have to do it. Is that it?
That's right. Yes, there's 47 of them so far that are biospheres, and then there's 20 to 22 that are called UN World Heritage Sites. And I'm aware that there's another article out that there's 71 more heritage sites that are being considered. And in that list is about seven more parks in Utah. And I think there's about 11 more that they're looking at in the state of Illinois. And I think in California they're looking at maybe four more they're looking at. I know that Yosemite National Park is already, and so is the Redwood National Park is already a heritage park in the state of California. But when they talk about this sustainable development, you know, you need to be aware of Agenda 21, which has 40 chapters in it, and probably the most important one is Chapter 7, and it talks about relocating the population in the United States. In fact, just recently I received an article talking about FEMA. They have been given the go-ahead, I guess, by our government to have in place these temporary cities by January 2003 is the article that I have.
Well, let me explain that. That of course, is
good.
The material that comes from Chris Ruddy. What they were to have in place was the contract for building the cities, not
that's
the cities
right.
themselves. So
no, no,
they're going
right.
to put out, they put out a bid, and you can go to Newsmax.com and
right.
get this. And, of course, you can even go to the FEMA site, and you'll actually see where they're requesting these bids for a grant of $300 billion to establish these relocation centers. Now, they aren't going to be built until the year 2004, 2005. But that's not that far away, and they're talking about relocating hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans in 10 cities. Why in heaven's name would they be considering doing that unless, of course, they know something the American people don't know about what the future holds?
That's right. Yes, that's true. They do have the contracts, and they are buying up tents and trailers and things of that nature so that they... And it talks about, you know, the potential attack. So apparently they understand that there will be some attacks, and they are preparing for them. And like you said, there will be millions of Americans that will be relocated to these temporary, they say temporary cities, but they may become permanent.
And I think the average American, Al, will find
yeah.
that difficult. I mean, that just
oh,
couldn't
yeah.
happen. And yet, of course, they're planning on it. They're spending billions of dollars in preparation
right.
for it. And the fact that you're not reading about that in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal simply reflects the fact that the establishment doesn't want you to know. Go to Newsmax.com. You can, of course, even contact us if you can't get it there. But get Chris Ruddy's articles on these programs, which are not imaginary. They're real. Go up on the FEMA website. At least a couple of weeks ago, these articles were there. The actual
yeah.
request for bids for a $300 million contract just for the plan to set up these tent cities all across America. And you would think that everybody would be frightened to death, and instead of that, more people are concerned about who's going to win the World Series than
right.
they are about the fact that their children, 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, may be living in tents, or they may not even be living at all.
That's right. Yes, and Agenda 21 is so important for people to understand, because that's probably going to be the vehicle that they're going to use to actually, reorient the area where they're going to take people and change where humans live now. This sustainable development means that if a human lives on the land, then it becomes not sustainable anymore. So that's why these biospheres, when people talk and they say, Al, are you sure what you're saying? Well, I use Yellowstone National Park as a prime example because they do have a biosphere there, and it is for no or little human activity. And Zion National Park now, it's not yet a biosphere, but I noticed here a school teacher wanted to take her class to Zion National Park, and I think there was probably about 100 students. She was denied because they said, oh, you could only have 12 at a time go into the park. So I'm starting to see things happen here very close to my hometown.
Well, of course, then you get this resolution passed, and it says that your community is going to be a United Nations free zone, and people are encouraged not to trade with the United Nations. And, it's really more or less a statement. It has not a lot of legal authority. But, of course, nobody has stood up to the United Nations. Certainly every president of the United States, whether he be Democrat or Republican, supports this concept of world government. And without, of course, all the rules and regulations, the loss of our national sovereignty, and eventually the loss of our freedom, everybody goes along with it. Of course, supposedly we're opposing the International Criminal Court, but not for everybody else in the world, just for American soldiers, because what American soldier wants to go overseas to fight, with the realization he may be called before an International Criminal Court for war crimes? And so Americans and American leaders will be exempt from the laws of the world, but everybody else won't be. What sort of hypocrisy is that? Because the major driving force behind the ICC has always been the American government. And of course, the idealists, or I should say the wicked people, who are using our government to bring about this one world government and the new world religion. So anyway, you've taken a stand against it. Then what happened, Al?
Well, I'll tell you what, there was an election last November, which two of the fellows that voted with me had moved out of town, so that left those two seats open, plus the mayor was defeated that supported us, and so the four new city councilmen plus the new mayor were bound and determined that they were going to repeal that ordinance, and they did. So what I did, I told them if that is what happened before we voted, and it ended up a 4-1 vote, and I was the only one that voted to keep the ordinance, and the other four, the mayor does not vote in our community unless it's a tied vote. So the other four city councilmen, which are all government employees, okay, are very, they set out to make sure that that was repealed. So what I did is I went out and got a resolution, or a referendum, I should say, signed by 480 people, and I only needed 199 to sign it. So it will be on the ballot on November the 5th, in 2003. So I just had an opportunity on United States Day is the 23rd, and most people don't understand that, but it was founded back in 1953 that October 23rd, which is the day before UN Day, is United States Day. And so the last Wednesday I put a proclamation together and we proclaimed in Leverkin that every 23rd of October, every year, will be United States Day in Leverkin. Now, I wanted to also, in that same proclamation, proclaim United States Week from the 23rd to the 29th, but the other four wouldn't go with that because they said it might interfere with UN Day.
In other words, their loyalty is more to United Nations than to the United States. But you have to understand that, if you're a government employee, you better go along with this agenda or you're going to lose your job, your pension, your security. And, of course, a lot of them really don't understand what's wrong with the United Nations. I know at a time in my life, I didn't know what was wrong with the United Nations because nobody had ever told me. So why don't you tell us what's wrong with the United Nations? Why don't you want to honor the United Nations? And why should we be concerned about, just sort of having a symbolic control of some of our property?
Okay. Well, I've always said every time I go out and give a public speech, and people ask that same question, what is wrong with, why, Al, are you against the UN? Because they're a peace-loving organization. They keep the peace in the world and they feed the poor children. And I say, yes, but that's two of the things that they may do. But I need to bring your attention to the 68 other things that they are about to do. And so I always say that the UN Charter is the tool that was produced by the elitists, which are probably, just a handful of people in the world, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, we can go through that. But anyhow, they wanted to make sure that the United States would become, that the Americans would be submitted to a global dictatorship, which is the United Nations. This is one of the things. It's not a republic, it's a democracy. And so when you think about the United States only has one vote in the assembly and out of a 191, so we're always going to be outvoted. It's just like myself right now on the city council, 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. It's pretty hard. I don't get my way because the majority in the vote is the winner. So as far as the UN is concerned, the United States is not will have no say when it comes to future things that has to do with, for example, this sustainable development. I'm really on to this now because I understand what it's all about. Is that is one tool that the UN has come up with. I have an article that one fellow said this. He said, you know, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, and he's talking about the global group, we came up with the idea that population, pollution, is a threat to global and global warming.
Don't forget poverty.
And
population,
poverty,
pollution,
yeah. And water shortage and famine and like... and all the other things that they talk about would fit the bill, and all these dangers are caused by humans in with their intervention.
And of course, and the real enemy is human beings themselves.
Yeah, that's what they say. And it says the real enemy then is humanity itself.
Well, of course, that comes right out of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report that came out of the Second Earth Summit. And for our skeptics out there, you really need to get my Sustainable Development Syllabus. We lay it all out. We summarize the Global Biodiversity Assessment. And we tell you about their plan to kill off most of the population of the world. Now, if that sounds pretty far out to you, why you just need to read it. You need to check the facts. You need to read Jacques Cousteau's remarks in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991, where he said, and we have it in both English and French, it'll necessary to kill 350,000 people a day. Why doesn't Barbara Walters, or Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw ever tell you about the wicked Jacques Cousteau, who said we've got to eliminate 350,000 people a day? Could you imagine what would happen if Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson had said that?
Every time
you mention their name, you would associate that with their genocidal policies. But Jacques Cousteau, who plays with the dolphins and the fishies and the killer whales, why Jacques Cousteau can get away with advocating genocide on a degree that would have made both Hermann Goebbels and Adolf Hitler blush with envy, and of course not a word from the controlled media. And if you doubt what I'm saying, we'll be glad to send you the documentation on that. And you need to go to my website and get my Population Control Agenda monograph. I understand these people are deadly serious, and that's an important part of sustainable development, the United Nations plan for your future. So that's certainly one very, very good point. But Al, aren't you also worried about the fact the United Nations will simply supersede our Constitution and freedom as we know it will become a remembrance of things past?
Right, yes. I also say this in my when I go out to do public speaking, that the United Nations Charter, which is a world constitution, it's a constitution. You can go through and you can see that it's a government already formed, and it is the tool to overthrow our constitution. It was meant to be Elder Hiss and Leo Paskovsky, who is a Russian. Born Russian that came over in 1934 and worked his way up through the State Department, and he was the one that wrote the final document as far as it being finalized, and he was the one that went to our Congress and presented it back in 1945 to them and explained it to them. Now, when you go through that United Nations Charter, I'll tell you, it's a maze. I understand why people look at it and they say, they'll start to read it and they say, I cannot understand it, because I'll tell you what, I've gone through it and I've got all these arrows from one article to another, and it goes every direction. I mean, let me just give you an example. Like Article 2 refers to Chapter 7. Well, Chapter 7 has Article 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50, 51. Then you go to 43, it refers back to 44, and you go to 45, it goes back to 43, you go to 41, it goes to 39, you go to Chapter 7, and it will take you to Article 24, which then 24 takes you, it's a maze, and most average Americans, when they look at this, they think, hey, I don't understand it, and they give up on it. And I can understand why. Very well written. Very smart individual. knew that if they wrote it in such a manner that the average American couldn't understand it, they wouldn't have to worry about anyone, you know, being against it because they don't understand it. And very cleverly, well done. And I know that when I was on the CNN back in February, it was February the 16th, and debated the UN Director of Communications, these people are very, very intelligent, very intelligent. And so when you come up against them, you know, they are well trained in negotiating and debating.
And they lie.
Pardon?
They lie.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you have to understand what's at stake, the future of the world.
Yes.
And so they lie. This is their plan, is a world government, a world totalitarian government under the control of a ruling elite, and they expect to be the ruling elite.
Yes.
And so, yeah, but you only can bring this about by deception, exactly as Adolf Hitler was able to establish his dictatorship, and he did it democratically. He
yes.
did it. He did it perfectly legally, and everything these people are doing is legal. Everything is to an end run around our Constitution, as Richard Gardner said so well in an article in Foreign Affairs magazine in April of 1993, '93. And, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know until it's too late, when they got us in the cage.
Well, I'll tell you what. I came across a statement that was made by one patriot, and he said this: any attempt, whether from within or outside the United States, that caused disorder in the operation of the Union or the breakup of the Union or the decay of the freedoms afforded by the United States Constitution to the citizens of the United States of America, then this is an enemy to this country and warrants the attention of every citizen. And when you look at the UN, this is the very thing that's so, they are the enemy. They are. And most Americans don't understand that. And then J. Reuben Clark was a former Undersecretary of State and an ambassador to Mexico back in the late 40s and the early 50s. And he wrote a book called The United Nations Today. And on page 27, this is what he said. He's talking about the United Nations. Not only does the Charter, and he's talking about the Charter of the United Nations, he says, not only does the Charter organization not prevent future wars, but it makes it practically certain that we shall have future wars, and as to such wars, it takes from us, the United States, the power to declare them, to choose the side on which we shall fight, and determine what force and military equipment we shall use in war, and to control and command our sons who will do the fighting. Now, here was a man that was, it was just 6 years after the UN was put together that he, as a Undersecretary of State, understood what the UN really was all about. So it's important for all of us to take the time to study and make sure that we understand who the enemy is, and by that definition that I talk about, if they're there to take away the freedoms that the Constitution gives to the citizens, then they are the enemy. And so, I remember reading an article where there was a Chinese military person who said this: you need to know the enemy if you are wanting to win the war. You can't win a war if you don't know who the enemy is. And so the UN has done such a great job of camouflaging that they are not the enemy to the United States. Here they are, right here in the United States, with a $300 million building that Rockefellers had given the land. I think at that time the land was worth maybe $6 to $7 million in New York City. But why would they want to put their building in the United States? Well, the capital of the world is going to be in New York City.
Well, I think that people have to understand that these people know exactly what they're doing. Every communist in the world supports the idea of the United Nations.
Yes.
Now, why then would our leaders support the United Nations if that's exactly what the communists want? Because our leaders and the communist leaders want exactly the same thing. But of course, we can't let the American people know that. You'll find out that the people in the who are members of the Lucius Trust, of the Theosophical Society, the Rosicrucians, the leaders of the secret component of Masonry, of the Skull and Bones, they all want a one-world government. What do they know that you don't know? We'll be back in just 3 minutes here with our special guest, Al Snow. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I once again have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope that many of you out there will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our programs. Now, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, it's as simple as calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our September newsletter, which goes into the real reason for the September 11th attack and what's happened since then. Or if you'd like to read Christian Breitweiser's testimony, and that's the October newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one newsletter if you haven't had one before. If you can just give us a call of 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because I will tell you that many people out across America have told me they always look forward every month to receiving that newsletter. And we've had a number of major leaders of the country who've specifically requested that they be put on the mailing list. So my wife does a great job of getting that newsletter into good shape. And, of course, I write it on a monthly basis. I believe it will give you an entirely different outlook on what's going on in the world. And it will give you the information you're not going to get elsewhere, all carefully documented so that you can be absolutely certain that it's correct. So if you believe that there's a problem, if you believe we're losing our freedom, if you believe that there are occult forces, spiritual forces out there working to create a new world order and a new world religion, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family, and we'd love, of course, to welcome you into our family. Then, of course, I want to remind you about the all-day conference we're going to be putting on at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's going to be starting at, the doors will open at 8 o'clock in the morning. Program will start at 8:45. We'll go straight through till 5 o'clock. We'll have lunch, of course, but there are going to be some fascinating speakers. And we're going to tell you about preparation for the very difficult times that do lie ahead, and what you can do financially and physically, but spiritually most of all, in preparation for the difficult times. And there are difficult times that lie ahead, and we know that because FEMA really is planning on relocation camps. And most people say, oh, well, that's for somebody else. But are you sure it's for somebody else? Are you sure that you would not be on that list of people who would be accused of being subversive? Why, you might even hold a membership in a church someplace. And as I've said many times, I was called immediately after the 911 attack by an FBI agent and asked if I believe these were the end times. Of course, that's what many evangelical Christians believe. I believe that since the time of the ancient apostles, who thought that the Lord was coming at any time. Why do you think the FBI was so interested in my religious beliefs? And when I called the FBI agent back not too long ago to ask him about that, his first remark was, "Are you taping this?" And I said, "No, I'm not taping it. I just wondered why you wanted to know about my religious beliefs." Well, you're not being investigated. I said, "But why did you ask about my religious beliefs?" Well, I want you to know you're not being investigated. Well, of course, you have to understand that they keep track of everybody in the country, and they're very interested in what you believe from a religious point of view, because, of course, there are some people who believe that Christians are a menace to our society, that the society would be worse off, would be better off without those who will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness. That's the term that Barbara Marx Hubbard, who's been a consultant to our government, in fact, she even ran for the vice presidency, I believe, in 1984 for the Democrat nomination against Geraldine Ferraro. And Barbara Marx Hubbard talked about those who will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness, how they will have to be eliminated, and that is not your job, that is my job, my dear, because we are the riders of the pale horse, death. And if you'd like to read those pages from her initial book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, it was reprinted. It was actually put out in a regular book form under the auspices of the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. But in the original version, why she talked about the necessity of eliminating that quarter of the population who had not evolved to a higher level of consciousness. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you and me, the Christians who she hates so much. Barbara Marks Hubbard, one of the wealthiest women in the world, a former consultant to the Defense Department. So we really have problems. They're not imaginary. And you better understand what this is all about, and you better become involved. And hopefully many of you will want to partner with us in this effort to awaken the American people. Our influence is spreading gradually, and, well, of course, the more it spreads, the more we'll become under the notice of the government. But we have to do what's right, and, of course, we ask for your prayers for our provision and for our protection. Again, remember our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope to see you at the conference, and we hope that you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Well, I guess this evening is Al Snow. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Al, why don't you go ahead and pick up your story of your effort to actually have your community declare declared as a United Nations free zone, and the election's going to be next November. Are you going to be able to win that election?
I will be up for re-election at the same time. So if I lose, then I suppose the referendum will lose. If the referendum loses, then I'll probably, you know, I can't be divorced from it. And so I am the Mr. Anti-UN guy in Leverkin.
All right. Now, of course, don't an awful lot of people begin to understand what this is about? Have you been able to get them educated?
Yes. I'll tell you what. That's why I didn't have it this November, because I wanted to have at least a year to be able to educate more people in the community. And so after this election, we will start having debates. And I had a debate yesterday with a UN fellow at the Dixie State College campus in St. George, and there was about 350 people that were there. It was open to the public, but it was sponsored by the political science class on campus, and so about 200 of those were the students, and they were to write a short paper on the debate that went on. And we had the debate. First, I was first with 20 minutes, and then the UN fellow that was there gave 20 minutes, and then we opened it up for questions that the audience was given 3x5 cards, inch cards, to write a question on it. And then the monitor, the person that was, in fact, he was the teacher of the political science class, then chose out of that group the questions, one for me, then one for him, and so forth and so on. So we did that for probably another half hour. But this is one of the things I hope to do, is to be able to educate as many people as I can in the community by getting them involved, and also try to get my book in their hands so they can start reading some of the documents that are important. For example, the UN Participation Act of 1945. I think everyone needs to understand what that is, and also then make sure that they understand the speech that was given by John F. Kennedy on September the 21st back in 1961, disarming America in a free society, and so forth and so on.
Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get your book and how they can get your website?
Okay. The book can be, they can purchase the book at any bookstore. They can walk into any bookstore, and if they don't have it, they can order it for them. Or they can get it on Amazon.com. They can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. They can get it at Utah Books, it's plural, with an S, books with an S, .com. They can get it from me, which is, a post office box.
Well, why don't you give them that post office box?
Okay. It is Al, A-L, Snow, S-N-O-W, Post Office Box, 158, Leverkin. And you spell it with a capital L, small a, capital V, E R K I N, Loverkin, Utah, and the zip code is 84745. 84745.
All right, fine. And do you have a telephone number they can call?
Yes, they can call, and if they wanted to use a, say, a Visa card or whatever, they can call an 800 number, which is 1-800-360-5284.
That's 1-800-360-5284.
Right.
800-360-5284. And the name of the book?
The name of the book is Exceptional Profile of Courage. That's the main title. And the subtitle is The United Nations versus American Liberty.
And I think that it's so important that people understand that the United Nations, under the United Nations, you have no inherent rights. Any rights you have are those given to you, and they are provisional. Under our Constitution, your rights come from God. And, of course, the whole idea of the Declaration of Independence, which was the forerunner to the Constitution, where we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Under the United Nations, you are granted rights by the centralized authority. And, of course, they can take those rights away. In fact, they can limit the right to freedom of speech or freedom of the press if it is in, of course, the common good.
Right. Now, I'm always saying that the Declaration of Independence was the promise, and then the Constitution was the fulfillment of that, of what you're talking about, where we would have the right to have freedoms, and they're spelled out in the first 10 Bill of Rights, and then also what you talked about, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which was given to us by God. And as far as our Constitution, those things can't be taken away from us.
No, but of course, there are no concepts of God in the United Nations. And people have to understand that every Luciferian and every Satanist in the world knows that the whole idea of the United Nations is to create this one world government. Now, they're not going to come out and tell you that, but there really are Satanists. There really are Luciferians. There are Luciferian organizations. And, of course, I subscribe to their publications, the Lucius Trust, their publications, their Goodwill publications. They will tell you that they are totally dedicated to the plan, and the capital plan as a capital P. And, of course, that plan includes the one world government. It goes back to the writings of Madame Blavatsky, who was a Luciferian, and Alice Bailey, who popularized that term, a thousand points of light, that was used by our president during one of his inaugural speeches. His name was George Herbert Walker Bush. Alice Bailey talked about this idea of the, this new world order that George Bush talks about. That's what it's all about. But of course, George Bush comes from Skull and Bones, which is an organization that has its roots based in paganism. And anybody who doesn't believe that needs to get our new four-tape set on Skull and Bones. Incidentally, we've just put that together, the four-tape set on Skull and Bones. But it all ties into this move towards the United Nations, which is to be the new world order, the new world dictatorship with the ruling elite and everybody else enslaved. That's what it's about.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed reading your book, Brotherhood of Darkness.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I recommend it for everyone because it is very informative of what people need to know.
Well,
and knowledge is power. Once you know what is going on, that's power. And so it's very important. You know, in that debate yesterday, they were talking about how the UN was a peace-loving organization. And if you go to Article Number 4, which is in the United Nations Charter under Chapter 2, and this is what it says. It says, membership in the United Nations is open to all other peace-loving states. Now, when you really think about that, Syria, Libya, Cuba, Iraq, and Iran and Sudan are all members of the United Nations. and they are the ones that are supplying a lot of the terrorism in the world. And here they are, members, and it says that only, you know, other peace-loving states.
But you have to understand that the peace that they want is the peace that exists in a prison. The
yes.
peace that exists in a graveyard. There is peace in both of those places.
That's
but
right.
is that the sort of peace that we really want? You see, the words are used to deceive. Words are used to cover true meaning.
Right. That's for sure. You know, and I one thing that gets my attention is this. Why is the Marxists and socialists becoming so involved in the United Nations? That's a good question, and it needs to be answered by every American citizen. And why is the United Nations acting so heavily, or getting so heavily involved in controlling people? And you see that more each day. The things, their conferences, their the things that they are putting out and passing as a group that's going to control the actions of people.
And why does Gorbachev support the United Nations? I mean,
yes.
Here's the former head of the KGB, the former head of the dictator of Russia. Why does he support the idea of world government, right along with Stephen Rockefeller and David Rockefeller and all the great capitalists? In fact, whenever Fidel Castro comes to the United States, he stops off to see his good friend, David Rockefeller.
That's right. And that's always my question. Where is Gorbachev? He's in the UN. I mean, he helped to write some of these charters that are involved in the sustainable development. He's involved in that because he knows that's one of the tools that's going to overthrow this country.
Right. Of
because
course, the things what people don't understand is that the communists have always worked with Americans of great wealth.
Yes.
Who have exactly the same goal as the communists. In fact, there is no communism in Russia. It is simply an elitist system of people with great power, and of course they work hand in glove with the people here in the United States who hold the reins of power in our nation and work behind the scenes controlling both political parties.
Yes. Well, Gorbachev was one of the, well, he's a co-chairman of what is called the Earth Charter, and people need to get a hold of that and find out. And so is Maurice Strong. He's a co-chairman of this, and it's very, you know, most Americans say, well, I've never heard of the Earth Charter. Well, there is a handbook, and if you get on their website, you can take it off and then read it and find out what they have in mind for all of us.
Is there actually a website for the Earth Charter?
Yes. Yes, I took it off, and it was on the UN website where I got it, and it's about 50 pages, and it's called the Earth Charter Initiative Handbook.
Okay, well, we actually have a copy of the Earth Charter in our in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, or any of our listeners out there who just want the Earth Charter would be glad to send it to them. And, of course, it was you have to understand that this is to replace the Ten Commandments of God.
Yep.
Because everything about this whole movement towards world government is a counterfeit of God's plan for mankind. And that's why they put the Earth Charter into the Ark of Hope. The
yes.
Ark of Hope, built almost to the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. Not quite different wood, slightly different dimensions, but, you know, with the long poles on either side so it can be carried. A sacred carrier for the sacred document, which is, of course, the Earth Charter, written by the new gods, Gorbachev, Maurice Strong, Stephen Rockefeller.
Yes, that's right. And another thing is, why is the UN passing world legislation that's involving children's rights and human rights and women's rights? And, you know, when you look at the UN, they are getting involved in every phase of our lives. And that's very scary to me. It's something that, and I go back to President Roosevelt, FDR, and when he said, he quoted, this is one of his quotes, "In politics, nothing happens by accident. It happens because it was planned that way." And so you need to make sure that all of us understand that what the UN stands for, what their objective, and get involved and read as much as you can, because I'm going to say this again when I'm out talking to people. I say, you know, what we learned today, we can apply tomorrow. But if tomorrow comes and we have not learned yesterday, then today may be too late. And that has to do with the UN.
Okay, that's a great thought. And let's go to Dan calling in from Spokane. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Hello, sir. I'm enjoying this program, and I wanted to make or say something, if I could, about the sustainable development. These people are sneaky. You know, they're like you say, they're very clever, and they one of the things they're after is private property rights.
Right.
And one of the ways that I have experienced it here in Spokane, I'm only 15 miles from the city, and yet there's a group of people somehow associated with one of these government public organizations, one of the NGOs. This group is planting moose, just north and south of the city. And the last week, I've had five moose in my yard. You know, I was born here in this area, and I'm in my 50s now. Up until my 40s, there were no moose. The idea, apparently, behind this, we've checked into it, is that once they introduce a population of some animal, be it wild cats or moose or grizzly bears, they put radio collars on them, and then they establish, they can track these animals with their helicopters, and they actually have helicopters, and then they can establish the fact that there's an existing population of some endangered animal. Well, of course, then they have grounds to remove you as a private property owner from your property.
Well, absolutely, and that's what it's all about. They really want, of course, to take the people and put them into sustainable communities where they can be watched and monitored and controlled, at least those that are allowed to live, because they really feel that the moose is far more important than you, and certainly you have no private property rights. Everything belongs to the state.
They do, and it's... You know, when you talk to these people, just the local volunteers are generally school teachers or ex-Kaiser workers. They're nice people, and they're generally hard-working people, but they are truly deceived. I mean, they really think that they are doing something like the Peace Corps back in the 1960s, you know. They don't realize that they're undoing capitalism. They're undoing the very thing that runs this country. They really don't understand it. And it's become their religion. They do it with a zeal that's chilling.
But what you have to understand, what you have to convince them of, is that they are really not interested, the leaders of this are not interested in the moose or the wildcats or the grizzly bears. They're interested in destroying Western civilization. You need to get the book Limits of Growth, which came out in 1971, published by the Club of Rome. And they lay out this whole basic scenario, and they are using the threat to the environment as a justification for declaring a dictatorship. And the fact that we are not opposing them and exposing them simply reflects the fact that most people are so wound up into having the good life, they don't understand the good life is about to end. And all of this is covered. You can get my articles, I think that they were January, February, and March of not this year, but last year, on the electricity crisis. And we go into that, these articles, these statements by the leaders of the environmental movement who said, we're not interested in the animals. We're interested in sustainable development.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right, but I agree with your guest there that knowledge is power. I was in a barber shop today, and I mentioned to my barber, and the guys there in the chairs overheard it, that, you know, what these moose were all about and what the scam was. And so just that little bit of making it public will influence the vote, you know. And I think if people are aware of it, then it loses its bite. I really think you can educate people out of this scam.
Dan, you can. You get them starting to listen to our programs, will you? And tell them about our program out there in Spokane tomorrow morning. We do a program every Saturday at 10 o'clock, as well as our evening program. So get them listening, you know, and then, of course, start passing out some flyers or information on what this is really all about. And tell them, you know, if you're going to wait till they come after your property, it's too late. Because they will take your property and perhaps even your life.
Just right. I appreciate your advice, sir. And thank you for this show. I'm really I'm appreciating it, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Good night. Good night. God bless you, Dan. Bye-bye. That was Dan calling in from Spokane. Well, Al, why don't you go ahead here? We've only got about three more minutes before we have to turn into pumpkins.
Okay. You know, I just came across an article that was very interesting, and I don't know if you know who Chester Pierce is, but he's a professor in the Department of Educational Psychiatry at Harvard University. And he is a major architect of the development of the new America, of a global village. And this is what he says as far as education. And that's another field that the UN is really getting involved in. But this is what he said. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is insane because he comes to school with certain alliances towards our founding fathers, towards his parents, towards our elected officials, towards a belief in a supernatural being, and towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to us, and he's talking to some teachers that came to a seminar that he was putting on. And so he said, it's up to you, teachers, to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future.
Sounds like it came right out of 1984, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. So this is something that all of us need to be aware of. And I just can't stress it enough, just like you do, Dr. Stan, that people need to become more aware, watch less television, and do the studying, reading. And it does take an effort. It is a sacrifice on your time to do these things, but it pays off in the end. If you can educate yourself and become very knowledgeable of what's going on, then you can see the picture, the bigger picture, and then be able to maybe do something about it. At least a group. You know, one fellow said to me, "Well, Al, you're only one person out there. What do you think? How are you going to make a difference and all that?" But if everyone stands up, it's going to make a great difference.
Amen to that. And of course, I admire you for what you have done and for your willingness to take a stand in, at this time in history. And, you know, I would simply tell your friend that what Dottie said, you know, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. Tell me, what are you doing? And I would simply ask him, you know, what are you going to say to your children or grandchildren if we lose our freedom? You're going to say, well, I was just too busy. I didn't think I could accomplish anything. Believe me, one or two people on the other side have made a tremendous amount of difference. And if there were enough good people who really care about freedom, we could take America back. Or at least we could point people to what the real source of our strength is. And it's not in politics. It is not even in America. It is in God. And our freedom comes from God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Al, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I appreciate being on with you.
Well, give me a call. We'll get you on again sometime real soon. Good night. And may the Lord be with you.
Well, thank you.
And this is the time when we have to be I just ask you to pray for America and pray for revival. But please remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We are reaching more and more people, and even some little radio stations that I never even heard of are playing our programs. We just need to expand the message out across America and create an awareness of what this is all about. So we covered your prayers, and till Monday when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.